Hey everybody, welcome back. It's the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Beadon, joined by that man across from me. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're just listening, it is the Fantasy Master Lothario himself, Gray Albright. How you doing, Gray?
Thanks for having me on, Beadon.
Yeah, you know, it's your podcast, really. Thanks for having me on. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. Hopefully you are too.
I was listening to a professional podcast this weekend, and they started by saying thanks for having me on. So I thought that would sound really professional until I said it, and then I realized that yeah, I guess you should be thanking me. No, that sounds awful. No, we thank each other. We are equally grateful. Grateful.
Let's be honest, Gray. We're not really grateful for either of us. It's really just the people grateful. Listening to our nonsense that we're grateful maybe for.
The Fonzie in Happy Days. This reference might be before your time, but he could never say sorry, so he'd be like, he wouldn't be able to say sorry. So that's how I am with the word grateful. I'm so not grateful. I can't say the word. Hey, anyway, so the Dodgers saves this year. I think they could go to grateful. Okay, anyway, let's go. This podcast is already going to be long.
Yeah, this is going to be a long one. We're doing the rest of the top 100 outfielders here. So starting at 52, I mean, let's just high-leveled, Gray, we're starting at 52 among outfielders. And in a five-outfielder league, how many outfielders are you okay with from this group we're about to talk about? Let's start with a 12-team league.
I just got back from Florida, and boy, are my arms tired now. So I was in the labor draft, which is a 12-team mixed league, and these guys were basically your last outfielder. The first group, this first tier of guys that we're going to talk about, these were like, and I mean, a few guys sprinkled in that if someone liked a guy. Like, you know, someone who isn't in this tier maybe was drafted, but only for like a couple dollars. And that's 12-team mixed league. So we're starting from a place where these guys are already like 15-team mixed league or deeper, where they're really interesting. In a 12-team mixed league, as you'll hear, a lot of these guys, it's like, well, that's your fifth outfielder, but waivers are pretty plentiful. So you shouldn't be too grateful if you draft one of these guys, huh? I'm using the word of the day.
There you go. All right, let's go ahead and get into it, and we'll talk about like as we go through it, who some of them are, like the playing time guys, who are the upside guys, who are some of the prospects that we want to see if they'll get a job. We'll try and kind of, you know, point those out, because depending on the league you're in, you may have a different use for some of them. But yeah, let's go ahead and start with number 52, which is Ramon Laureano. Last year in 94 games, he had 13 home runs, 11 stolen bases. He had 49, 34, and hit .211. You have him projected for 14 home runs, 15 stolen bases, 56, 59, and .231, and 477 at-bats. I mean, he's going in the wrong direction. He had the PED pop, and then, I mean, he's kind of going, I don't know if this name is, maybe it's too minor, but he's going like Drew Stubbs on us. Like, we thought there was promise, and it's just dwindling in front of us.
Yeah, you pulled that name out of your butt.
I think I spent too much time in Cincinnati, Gray. That's who I remember now, is just all the failed Cincinnati guys.
your entire life in Cincinnati is just one big blend of like Drew Stubbs with chili and spaghetti. I don't mind Ramon Laureano. You know, for reference sake, in my 12-team mixed league auction, he went for $4. So I mean, that's as a fifth outfielder. So that's sort of where we are with Ramon Laureano for auction. And for mixed league snake drafts, yeah, I mean, I could see drafting Laureano if you're hurting for steals. But I do worry that, like, you know, because there's always that concern because of the suspension that he had it's like, well, was he ever really a 20 homer guy? Like, probably not, because it was like 2019 when they were using the bouncy ball. And then there's also the Peds suspension, the Peds outlaw. That's a documentary on Netflix about Laureano. But no, I think Laureano's fine if you want to take a flyer for speed, because, you know, with the limited engagements, which sounds like a limited release on a movie, limited engagements. That's really, I mean, not very easy to say. Anyway, the limited pickoff moves, Laureano could potentially be interesting for steals, but otherwise, A's, the park's terrible, the lineup's going to be terrible, the power doesn't seem great, and he's not really a huge average guy, and his K's went up last year. So, yeah, if you want to take a flyer on speed, sure. But, Laureano is kind of like a Sagnoff play at this point.
Yeah, really, really, really? Getting the fun right off the bat, Gray. Really bringing the energy with that Laureano speech there.
What are we doing? What are we doing? The second base podcast again? Yeah, this is going to be
all right,
fun, guys.
So moving on to the next one is 53, which is Lane Thomas. Last year he had 17 home runs, 8 stolen bases, 62-52, and hit .241. You have him projected for 19 home runs, 10 stolen bases, 77-49, and .237. I mean, he couldn't lead off versus lefties, so there is at least, like, some runs potential here.
I'll try. Even though you did it, like, their voice went up like a Valley Girl. So it's not necessarily the most
I'm Ron Burgundy.
It's not the most confident of sentences. But, yeah, no, I mean, he could lead off. And I had a sleeper post for Lane Thomas last year. Which was obviously not great, but I mean, that does show you that at one point I did like Lane Thomas. I don't think I truly realized how terrible his contact is. Like, his contact's pretty bad. So for him to have, like, last year in 146 games, 17 homers, it's kind of about what you should expect. So he doesn't have huge power. He doesn't really have speed. Even though he is kind of a leadoff guy, he has walked in the past, so that's why he could lead off too, because his walk rate was decent prior to last year. So maybe if he gets some of that plate discipline back, he's oddly, because his contact is so bad, he's oddly like a 300 BABIP 240 hitter. So, you know, not great, but if you're in a deep league, I could see it. And also, and once again, let's see if he even got drafted in he didn't even go in my 12-team mixed league auction. So that's sort of where we are. It's like maybe 12-team, maybe he's on waivers in 12-team to see if, like, you know, maybe he starts the season hot, so he would be a hot potato. But more than likely, it's like borderline 12-team, fourth outfielder in a 15-team for, like, runs and potentially, you know, maybe, like, kind of neutral on homers and a little on steals.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we're going to be at a lot of these guys. They're either going to give you one thing and one thing only, or it's going to kind of be like they're going to give you a little bit of this and a little bit of that and probably hurt you here. And that's kind of where we're going to be sitting a lot of the time with the rest of this group. Next up is number 54, which is Lars Nootbaar. I have seen him go much, much higher than that. In 108 games last year, he had 14 home runs, 4 stolen bases, 53-40, and hit .228. You have him projected for 20 home runs, 7 stolen bases, 76-54, and hitting .254. This is a StatCast guy. StatCast loves him. He's 26th in average exit velocity, 50th in hard hit, 38th in barrels. And he had the big second half where he hit 15 home runs. So there's a little bit of helium behind Lars Nootbaar, but I think we've talked about it before with St. Louis. Like, we don't really know where at bats are going with most people in St. Louis right now.
Right. Yeah. Also, I'd like to, this is a good time to stop and thank my beautiful wife for my trip to Florida. She parked. She packed me a few new bars, which was really nice of her. So. I just want to thank her for that. I think I'm the low man on Newbar. I don't really get what people are seeing here. Like, I mean, I heard what you said about the Statcast and the second half. And, I mean, I see that, but I don't know, man. Like, so many times, like, people read into second halves, like, that second half is going to become the next year's full season, when in reality that doesn't really happen as much as people think. Like, and more than likely people have a good like 2 months at the end of last year, like a Joey Menendez kind of thing, and then this year they're just kind of like again. Like, I honestly, and you mentioned too with the Cardinals have so many mouths to feed, and like I said, Newt Bar is delicious, but they don't have enough room for all these players. Like, there's a good, like, five outfielders that the Cardinals really have to get at bats. And, like, I don't mind Newt Bar if he's in the lineup every day and he's hitting towards the top of it. Like, okay. But that means that's going to cost either O'Neill. I'm in love with Jordan Walker. We'll see how that even sounds like a week from now. Like, in a week from now, I may be like, well, okay, so he's gone 0 for 25. But, like, right now, if you look at Walker, Carlson, O'Neill, Newbar, Yepes, Donovan, I mean, Gorman.
Burleson's still on the bench. DeJong, yeah.
They have so many guys that it's like, I mean, Newt Bar and DeJong sounds like a hotel mini bar. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like, I don't know, honestly, how they're going to get a bats for all these guys. And if Walker is up, there's no way they're benching him. You don't promote Walker to put him on the bench. So he's going somewhere. O'Neill, if he's hitting, he's playing for sure. Carlson and Newt Bar are kind of like, to me, they're kind of like a platoon. Potentially, like, Newbar may not face lefties. I don't know, man. I mean, people are much higher than me on Newbar, so I'm not getting them in drafts. Other people are drafting way before me. But, yeah, I know. I don't know, man. Go with God, I guess. If you want Newbar, go for it. But I'm not in.
Yeah, and, I mean, Carlson's a switch hitter. He hits lefties a lot better than he does righties. So maybe there is a platoon there between them. I mean, and I guess real quick, it was 10 home runs in the second half. Somebody's yelling at their podcast. He only hit 14 last year. He couldn't have hit 15. No, he hit 10. Sorry, I messed that stat up. I like him. I like him where ADP says he's going, which is around 180. I haven't seen him get to 180 in a single draft of mine yet. So if he gets to 180, I'll take a look at him. But more than likely, I've seen him going in that 150 range and all the way up into like the 120, 130 range, which is crazy to me. Again, just the playing time concerns of like the entire outfield in St. Louis.
Right. Yeah. And for what it's worth, I have him ranked around 200 overall. So I'm just after ADP, which in reality means I'm never really drafting him. He's just not on my sheet. Like, I have other guys ahead of him. Like, you know, anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. And we're not talking about a top prospect guy. He kind of came out of nowhere last year to put up even the power he did. So possibly made a swing change, but we're moving on anyway. Number 55 through 59, we've talked about that. It's Josh Naylor, Will Myers, Brendan Donovan, Alex Kirilloff, and Chris Morel. So number 60 is Jared Kelenic. Last year, in 54 games in the majors, he had 7 home runs, 5 stolen bases, and hit 141. Not great, but in AAA in 86 games, he hit 18 home runs, 9 stolen bases, and hit 296. So it's a question of whether he's let me give you a projection. Sorry, your projections are 16 home runs, 10 stolen bases, 54, 61, and 197. I mean, he's still only 23. It feels like the fatigue is setting in even at 23, but he still shows the power speed every time he goes back down. Is he a quad A guy? Is it going to happen? Do we need him to get traded to Cincinnati to see it? What's going on here with Colin and Gray?
Yeah, Cincinnati would be nice for him. It's fresh in my mind, so I keep going back to this mixed league labor draft, the 12-team mixed league labor draft that I just did in Florida. The expert league makes me an expert. Anyway, I just did it. And I drafted Klenick for $2 as my last outfielder. And that's kind of what I see as him. Like, he's in a 12-team mix, at least. He's a flyer. Like, if you think there's still a chance he could break out, then, take the flyer. For $2, I mean, unless we're in Better Off Dead, like, who needs $2? It's $2 ain't doing me any good, you know? It's like, that's just, like, I think, Yasmani Grandal, I think, went for $2. Like, it's like $2 is nothing. So why not take the flyer at the end of a 12-team mixed league if you can for a clinic? I honestly don't know what to expect this year. It's a long way of saying, like, I don't mind the flyer. I'll take it, and I like the gamble, but no one knows really. Like, he looks good in spring training, but he's looked good in past spring trainings. He looked good last year in spring training. He's looked good in every spring training we've seen him in, because he really hits well against lousy pitchers. And, in the minors, he's able to hit well because there are not a lot of great pitchers there. So I'm concerned that he may not be able to hit in the majors. I don't know. But I think it's worth the flyer. So, you do what you do. If he's there at the last rounds, there's worse things to do than take, like, in a 12-team mixed league, your fifth outfielder, you take him, and if he doesn't hit the first week of April, just drop him for someone on waivers.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much where we're at. I mean, again, I like him. I'm willing to take the shot, but I mean, I'd be completely lying if I said I knew, like, what he was gonna be, or if this was the year it was gonna click, anything like that. So it is just, you're hoping for the best when you're grabbing him here, and maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. Moving on to our next guy at 61, which is the start of another tier, is Brian De La Cruz. Last year he hit 13 home runs, 4 stolen bases, 38, 43, and 252. You have him projected for 16 home runs, 5 stolen bases, 63, 66, and 271. One of the things that it does get hard to do is find big power sources. The later it gets, maybe he's one. It's possible, but based on the track record, maybe not as well.
Yeah. Well, I think with De La Cruz, RIP plug two from De La Soul, I think the thing you're getting with him is, like, a real solid floor. And this is we should say this is a new tier in my rankings. This is like the tier we just went over was a high upside tier, even though it didn't sound like it. Like Nootbaar, Klenick, Laureano, those were upside guys. De La Cruz is a fifth outfielder who doesn't have upside. So at fifth outfielder in a 12-team mixed league, you should go upside. So De La Cruz isn't necessarily on my board for a 12-team mixed league, but a 15-team mixed league, I like a guy like De La Cruz, because in a deeper league, if you're looking at De La Cruz, he's a solid floor. He's good for average. He's a solid, he should be good for contact, not kill you on power, have a handful of steals, and, like, more than likely, he's going to be in the middle of the Marlins lineup, even though, like, right now it looks like he's batting eighth. I don't know if I'd buy that. I think, Garrett Cooper never stays healthy. And De La Cruz, like, between, Arias and maybe Avisail Garcia, like, somewhere in there, I could see De La Cruz batting third or fourth even. Like, I think he's probably one of their better hitters for a middle-of-the-lineup hitter. The Marlins, that is. So, Yeah, I mean, I don't mind them. I don't think there's much upside here. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think there's a floor, and that's about it. Like, you're going to get, like, at most 17 homers, 5 steals, and a 275 average, which doesn't sound great and really isn't, but it's a lot safer than, you know, Klenick, for instance, if you're in a deeper league.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys that's weird, like reverse splits. He hits righties better than he hits lefties, so that kind of helps keep him in the lineup as well. And he did have a big September, so, you know, I feel like I've said that about like 150 guys now that we've talked about through all the positions that they've had a big September. But I mean, he hit .388 with 6 home runs. He got the K rate down to 21% in that month. K rate's one of the fastest stabilizers, so. Maybe there was a swing approach change. Maybe somebody found something. So while I agree he's probably not going to provide a lot of upside, he's more of a safe play, I think there is a small amount of upside just based on what he did in September, if nothing with the K rate, which could potentially turn into a little bit more contact and maybe a bit higher base average for him. Moving on to number 62 is Bryce Harper. I mean, he hit 18 home runs, 11 stolen bases, 63, 65, and .286. You have him projected for 273 at-bats, 16 home runs, 7 stolen bases, 47, 54, and .277. I think this ultimately comes down to how many IL spots do you have in your league and how deep your league is as to whether you have room to sit Bryce Harper down on your bench.
Yeah, I think if you have, like, an IL slot, he's not a bad grab for an IL slot if you're in even a shallow league. You know, in spring training right now, it looks like they're talking very positively about his recovery and how he might come back sooner. So I don't know, maybe you get him like mid-June versus mid-July, which, you know, that's a bit of a boon for people who drafted him at, like, I think his ADP is like maybe after 250, 275 overall. So, you know, again, this is like last outfielder type play in a 12-team mixed league. You know, with the good reports out of camp, maybe people are pushing him up a little bit. Maybe he'll get drafted a little bit higher now. But yeah, I think he's, you know, like I ranked him. I looked at his stats, you know, I looked at his stats for half of a season. I'm assuming All-Star break, and his numbers for All-Star break, projecting him out, were like the same as De La Cruz for a full season. So, I mean, Bryce Harper is great. It's just like, how many at-bats are you getting is really like the question. Are you getting, you know, 275 at-bats? You're getting 350 at-bats? You're getting 175 at-bats? I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I'm thinking still mid-July. As of the recording of this, I'm going mid-July, but it could be mid-June.
Yeah, and I think, it depends on your league. If you have IL spots and it's a shallower league, you're in a 10 or 12-team league, like, by all means, draft Bryce Harper and then go to the waivers after you've put him on your IL and grab another guy to fill in for him during that time, because then you get whatever you get from that spot plus Bryce Harper. But, you know, if you're in a, like, an RCL where we have 3 bench spots and I think 2 IL, you know, you can draft him and see if you hold him, but there's going to be a point where you're going to have to decide to cut him or somebody else. It just depends on the type of player you are, I think. And it's a guy that I'm more willing to do that in a head-to-head where he can really make that difference towards the end in like a head-to-head type format than I am in a roto where you have to sit there and eat it all season.
Yeah, and also like there's leagues like NFBC where there's no IL slots at all, yeah. Like a main event league where like I just – and he's also got utility only in some leagues where I have him as outfield because I believe in Yahoo, in Yahoo, everyone's got every eligibility. But I believe Bryce Harper still has outfield eligibility in Yahoo. So that's why he's even ranked here. But he's mostly utility only. And NFBC, he's utility only and there's no IL slots. So then you have to think like, am I going to play him at IL? Am I going to play him at utility? Because like he may not get outfield eligibility this year. Like, I don't know how the Phillies are going to play him, but if I were the Phillies, I would just put him at DH because, like, you don't want to mess with him trying to throw.
Yeah, he didn't last year. I mean, he didn't qualify for most outfield leagues last year, and that was, you know, the injury happened, but before that he was healthy. So I wouldn't expect him to really qualify either. So, yeah, in that kind of league where it's literally eating up a roster spot where somebody else could be contributing, it does get harder to just sit him there and wait. Moving on to number 63 is Jock Peterson. Last year he had 23 home runs, 3 stolen bases, 5.770. He had 274, 353, and 521. The unprojected for 24 home runs, 4 stolen bases, 58.68, and 249. I mean, Jock Peterson is who he is. He's 130, 140 games. He's going to hit 240, 250 probably and give you some power.
Yeah, no, completely. Again, like, this is like a tier of safer fifth outfielders for 12 team or, you know, safer for deeper leagues. Like I said, you don't really want a safe outfielder for a fifth outfielder for a 12 team. So you shouldn't go safe in a 12 team. You should go a little bit more risky. But yeah, Jock Peterson's like, you know, he's a safe guy for deeper leagues as long as he's not facing lefties. So in, like, you know, in a weekly league, you just kind of have to look ahead to see if he's facing a bunch of lefties, and then you probably want to bench him. But yeah, he's also, like, he gets hot. He has these weeks where, like, he'll hit 8 homers in a week and then not hit a homer for like 2 months. But at the end of the day, he gives you, like, you know, 25 homers, 60 runs, 70-ish RBIs, 245 average. So, yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's not terrible. It's just, it depends on how you're building your team.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. You have to kind of pay attention with him because he's one of the most platoon players. I mean, he's been platoon for the last, really, like, 6 years.
You know where you really have to pay, you really have to pay attention to him when he's in your fantasy football league. That guy, man, with the IR slots. Like, what are you doing, Jock Peterson?
How dare he do something every single person who plays fantasy sports does. All right, moving on to number 64 is Michael Conforto. Last time we saw him was 2021. He had 14 home runs, a stolen base, went 52-55. And 232. Last full season he had was in 2019, which was the bouncy balls. He had 33 home runs and hit 257. Young projected for 14 home runs, 51, 59, and 254 after he missed all of last year with the shoulder surgery. I don't mind the shot here, Gray, but I feel like that's all we're really hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think... you know, like I said, this is a tier of guys where, like, in a deeper league, I'm fine. Like a Conforto in like a 15 team or NL only, sure, go for it. But like, I just don't see him ever coming close to, like, I don't know, 25 homers even. Like he feels like very, like, kind of I mean, middle of the lineup. Occasional homer, kind of bland, like with, average, like 250 maybe if you're lucky, 245 probably more likely. It's not, I mean, I don't know, 255 maybe. I guess 255 is fine, but because, like, he doesn't actually strike out that much. So we'll say 255. And he gets on base a lot, so on base percentage leagues, you know, he gets a boost there for OBP, but he's just so boring. Even like I don't think, like, even if he's completely healthy, which I don't know 100% he is, but even if he's completely healthy, I just don't see a huge upside here. Like, you know, like you said, 2019 was his real big year, but everyone had a big year in 2019. Kendall Marte looked like a 30 homer hitter in 2019. You know, it just wasn't a real – they weren't playing with a real baseball in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, I think even if he gets back to it, it's like 25 home runs is the upside. I mean, he did have 27 home runs in 109 games in 2017. So, I mean, he used to show that power. The stack-ass numbers aren't favorable to what he did last year, or I mean, what he did in 2021 versus what he was doing. So, I mean, I think that decline was already happening a little bit. At age 30, it becomes harder and harder for me to see him being a 30 home run threat, and he was never an average guy. So, as you mentioned, better in OBP, he's fine. He's fine. Moving on, we covered the next four. That's Juan Yepez, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., and Whit Merrifield, and then Trey Mancini. So number 69 is Andrew Benintendi. Last year, in 126 games, he had 5 home runs, 8 stolen bases, 54, 51, and hit .304. You have him projected for 14 home runs, 9 stolen bases, 86, 56, and .283. I mean, I was looking at the White Sox lineup, Gray. They really, really need, like, Lou Bob, Eloy, and Vaughn to be healthy and hit, because this is just a slap hitter, like, team, like, up and down the lineup, other than those three. And Benintendi is just adding to that mix.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, no, totally. I think also it might be a thing with it sounds like that game show, $25,000 pyramid. I was about to say things you put on your feet, because both the White Sox and the Red Sox both have like very slap happy, like Verdugo and Yoshida wouldn't look off in the White Sox lineup either, right?
You just swap them in for, you know, fill in your blank White Sox
right.
player.
Yeah, it's like Benintendi. It's like when Benintendi's done with the White Sox, go back to the Red Sox. Like, okay.
And Tim
like,
Anderson probably go back and sign with the Red Sox after they lose, after they lost Xander. Yeah.
Okay, ready? Things you find on your feet. Go! White Sox, Red Sox, Benintendi Sox. Benintendi Sox. I don't like Benintendi. I mean, it might be me, but he is just so bland that he's another guy that, like, in a deeper league, fine, I get it. If you need to make a play for, like, counting stats, like runs, RBIs, he won't kill you in average. But everything else is just so bland. Like, he is not, like, last year, in 126 games, 5 homers and 8 steals? Are you joking, man? Like, are you joking with me, bro? Like, I honestly, no, I can't. I mean, I can't draft that. Like, if other people have no problem drafting it, fine, go for it. I personally can never draft that. Even in a deep league, like, I would go with, like, a Conforto or a Peterson before I don't know. Like, I just can't draft Benintendi. I just find myself never drafting Benintendi because there's just so little interest to me.
Yeah, I get it. I sometimes end up with a guy like Benintendi, and it's either him or, like, any number of guys that are kind of, like, they're in a good spot in the lineup, they hit for good average, they don't do a whole lot else, because I go a little bit less average in the beginning sometimes. Like, I'll go with Adolis Garcia, and I'll go with, just some of the guys who are more power speed, less like 100% certain that they're going to hit for a good average necessarily. And so sometimes I'll build out with Benintendi, Everdugo type towards the end. But you're right. I mean, you know what you're getting. They're fill-ins when you need to, like, when your average starts slipping because Adolis Garcia is going through his, 123-week phase that he goes through where he doesn't touch a baseball or something like that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
All right, moving on to number 70 is Charlie Blackmon. Boy, he used to be a lot higher on this list. He had 16 home runs, 4 stolen bases, 60, 78, and 264 last year. Yeah, I'm projected for 17, 4, 69, 81, and 265. So almost the identical thing he did last year. It's the last year of his deal, so he could potentially get moved if he wants that, if the Rockies want that. But barring that, I mean, he's going to be what Charlie Blackmon has been for the last few years, which is a guy you play at Coors.
Yeah, I think with Blackmon, he's basically Benintendi in Coors, more or less, at this point in his career. He's falling even later than this in drafts, where I think I might actually be high on him, which is bizarre because I mean, I wouldn't ever really draft him. So it's a little bizarre that I have him as the high man. For what it's worth, I mean, on the player rater last year, he was 137th overall, just in front of Nico Horner and Ryan McMahon, and just after Martin Perez and Verdugo. So, like, you know, looking at that, like, in a deep league, you might be able to find worse than Charlie Blackmon. He hasn't really shown that he's, like, he stays on the field. He gets counting stats. Like, if you were to take away their names and just look at their stats, like, you would be pretty hard-pressed to find a difference between Charlie Blackmon's projections and Brian De La Cruz, you know? Like, 15 homers, 5 steals, 270 average. It's kind of Charlie Blackmon, and it's kind of Brian De La Cruz. So, you know, it's like, eh? I mean, you know, I don't like him necessarily. I feel like it's a really super boring play, but I can almost understand it more than, you know, Benintendi, who I just hate. Anyway.
Even though it's like the same exact number. Yeah, without having to worry about home field.
I'll cough to being irrationally low on Benintendi and okay with Blackmon. But, you know, I do have Benintendi ranked above Blackmon, so for whatever that's worth. I'm honestly, take me out of this equation, because I'm not drafting any of these guys. I look at that, like, when they get to the top of my top of ADP on my queue, I look at them and I'm like, let's see if I can draft a pitcher.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I am worried he gets traded and then becomes a 230, 240 hitter. But while he's in Colorado, you can enjoy it and kind of get what he's been doing. I think that's very safe. Number 71 is Jorge Soler. Not safe at all. Last year, he had 13 home runs and hit 207 in 72 games. You have him projected for 24 home runs, 62, 74, and 221. I mean, as I mentioned, it's hard to find big power sources late. He could be one. He did have back issues last year. So, you know, was it the back, or is he cooked? Where are you falling in that debate there, Gray?
I think I've drafted him once or twice already, because as you said, it is hard to find power. Like, you start getting at this deep in leagues, and especially in deeper leagues, like in a 12-team mixed league, I'm not really interested in Jorge Soler, but in a 15-team mixed league, it's hard to find guys who are capable of giving you a 35 homer season. Like, there's not a ton of those guys in the league right now, because the ball was dead last year. So everyone's assuming it's going to be dead again. So if it is dead again this May on Netflix and on MLB Network. I think he's like one of the few guys, like you said, like one of the few guys who could potentially give you 30 plus homers. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but there's very few guys late in drafts. Like, when you get to, like, the Solars of the world, like, you're looking at, like, the Austin Hayeses of the world, and you're like, I don't, like, personally, well, I don't know. I don't think we've gone to Austin Hayes yet. I don't necessarily hate Hayes, but that's, like, where you are in the draft, and it's like, you know, I like some guys in a deep league for, like, upside and flyers and potentially, like, to be good. But that's all you're getting here is potential. And there's not a ton of potentially 35 home run guys left in the league this late in draft. So for that reason, I have drafted Jorge Soler in a couple deep leagues, not a 12-team mixer.
Yeah, I'm with you that, like, if you're looking for power, he's one of those guys that you can take that shot on, and it could come back. My case for it not coming back and why he is down this far, obviously the average plummeted. He's older. He's getting hurt. His launch angle is down from like the power years of 2019 and 2021. Barrel rate's down from that same period. Hard hit rate's down versus, like, everything's down across the board. And that doesn't look good. So it's possible. I mean, he's a big guy. There's plenty of power there to do it. And even last year, he was on pace for, you know, a mid-20s home run. So even if he's cooked, he's still probably providing 25 home runs. It just does it come at a 200 average or sub 200 average? Like,
even if he's cooked.
I mean, I think so. I mean, like, the numbers last year weren't good. So even if he's that player, he was on pace for 25 home runs. So I'm just saying, it's still possible.
No, I totally agree. Even if he's cooked.
All right, moving on to number 72 is Mike Yastrzemski Jr. Last year he had 17 runs.
Speaking of cooked, welcome to Carl's Jr. Jr.
You have him projected for 20 home runs, 6 stolen bases, 69, 62, and 226. I mean, he should sit somewhere in a you know, not the very bottom of the terrible Giants lineup. And he has a little bit of power upside here, Gray. That's about as good as I can do on Mike Yaz.
Yeah, I don't think I've drafted him yet, so this is going to sound a little bit hollow but when I say I would draft him. I haven't, but I would. I think he's kind of like in that – he's in that middle, not a great lineup, but he's in the middle somewhere. I think maybe he hits as high as second, maybe he hits as low as like sixth, probably hits like fourth or fifth, depending on if Haniger stays on the field. Oh, is it my draft? I am actually
professionalism.
That is no, it's actually very true. I am up. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Greg.
Oh man, that is awesome. Obviously, I have six draft windows open right now. So anyway, with Yastrzemski, he like feels like one of the few guys in the Giants lineup that isn't going to platoon. Like it's like him, Estrada, and Haniger. They're just not going to platoon, so they're going to be like they're going to be playing every day. So I like them. I don't know if it's like if Yastrzemski is necessarily going to be like. Great. I mean, he had like in 2021 he was good. He had 25 homers. Like he has a little bit of power. I don't know. I don't mind him, to be honest, but again, I haven't drafted him, so take that for what it's worth.
I'm with you. I wouldn't mind having him. I've actually had him at the top of my queue and like been ready to draft him a couple times, and then he goes because somebody else is like in the same boat that I am, that they're like, that's good. I mean, he's at least going to get some playing time. He'll be there. He's kind of been all over the place. So maybe there's a magic season out there for him. And then he goes. So I'm kind of with you on where we're at on Junior. Moving on. All right, moving on to 70.
I was sorry. I was just doing my draft. Sorry. Go ahead.
Moving on to 73 is Jesse Winker. Last year, he had 14 home runs. 0 stolen bases, 51, 53, and hit 219. You have him projected for 17 home runs, 1 stolen base, 67, 66, 266. We were excited about Winker this time last year because he was in Cincinnati. He got traded to Seattle. He was completely useless, as you heard from the numbers that I gave you from what he did last year. But now he's back to Milwaukee, and I'm back in, Gray. Despite the fact he had the lowest average exit velocity, highest launch angle, and his barrel rate was down. I'm back in because he's in a more favorable part.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it. That's the best
think,
I got.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think he stays on the field. You know, like I don't mind Winker if he's playing, but he's just so difficult to trust at this point. But yeah, I mean, you could get that. A random year of him, playing, and he's in a good park, like you said. So, I mean, he did play last year. He just wasn't good, but that was a bad park. So a bad park for him and a bad situation, supposedly, like things weren't good in the Mariners clubhouse for him. So yeah, maybe the new environment and the new park and the, and if he stays on the field, maybe he gets back to like 22 homers to 70 plus average, maybe. I mean, he's always been good for contact. I mean, he's fine. I honestly, he's not a guy I usually draft. I don't think I've drafted him like for years now because I just don't trust him. But Yeah, if he can stay on the field, I guess he's for this late in a 15 team or deeper league, it's a fine play.
Yeah, I didn't really touch him last year, especially after the trade. But with where he's going, I'm perfectly fine with it. As we mentioned, like, there's so few power hitters here. Even 25 home runs down in this area is something valuable to potentially find. So I think he could do it. And I think, again, you mentioned he's not really a strikeout guy. So there's enough contact that he can kind of hit his way into or luck his way into, you know, a non-terrible average or even a plus average potentially. Moving on to 74 is Dylan Carlson, another member of the Cardinals outfield, as we've talked about before. Last year, he had 8 home runs, 5 stolen bases, 56-42, and hit .236 in partial playing time. You have him down for 12 home runs, 8 stolen bases, 63-57, and .261s. Decent reports coming out of camp. He's only 24. So, I mean, the Cardinals are invested in him performing. I don't know if that means they're going to give him playing time or if they just would like to see it.
Yeah, I mean, that he feels the most tenuous to me. I know people are saying Yepes is probably the most tenuous, but I think Carlson's really tenuous. I really don't trust him at all, to be honest, for like if the Jordan Walker thing happens is what I'm talking about. Like, that's like, I feel like Carlson's the first one out, then Yepes, then O'Neill, and then like, and then there's some sort of like Donovan like platoon happens maybe, because I know Donovan's hitting well in spring training, but it's spring training. Like, I've seen Donovan get moved up in ranks. I like Donovan too. Like, don't get me wrong, I have him ranked pretty high. I've been a fan of Donovan's. I would totally, but I don't know what Carlson, man. Like, his numbers just feel so blah. That even if he is playing, what are you getting? You know, like, he looks like a poor man's Lane Thomas at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like Donovan either. So I feel like he's probably the one I would see getting kind of moved around first. But I do think Carlson is among those outfielders that the leash is a little shorter than maybe it should be for, like, a guy who was, I don't know, like, the third best prospect in the Cardinals system up until like 2 years ago, or even last year, probably he would have been considered that. Like, and honestly, I don't know where that really comes from other than kind of the pedigree in the draft, because he's never, he had the 2018, 2019 season, which was great, but like, that's really the only season he's kind of put it together. So we're waiting to see on Dylan Carlson. I don't mind the flyer on him late, but I feel like that's what it is you're really hoping he kind of gets hot out of spring and gets the job or a job. Moving on to number 75 is Edward Olivares. Last year in 53 games, he had 4 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 24-15, and hit .286. You have him projected for 19 home runs, 16 stolen bases, 63-76, and .272. He had a quad and a leg issue that cost him some games last year, and he's another reverse splits guy where he's been better against righties in his MLB career, at least. Should get some at-bats here, at least, Gray.
Yeah, no, I definitely – I wrote a sleeper post on him. It's probably more of a sleeper for deep leagues. Like, I did – I took Alvarez in my labor 12-team mixed league in the free rounds. So I took him as a bench guy. It's in daily leagues, I say don't get bench guys in 12-team mixed leagues, but it's a weekly league. So hold your outrage, people. I like Alvarez a lot. I've been burned by him a lot too. So, you know, it's with a grain of salt that he's actually going to be playing and he's going to be, you know, good. But I mean, the stats like back up like his minor league numbers. Like, he looks like he should be good. Like, you know, it's hard to see, like, unless he's a quad A player, like, you look at his numbers through the minors and he's always hit well. He's like got he's got good contact. He doesn't strike out a lot at all. He has power and speed, which is what you want. Like, I feel like we could be back here next year and see Alvarez going, like, you know, 40 outfielders higher in, like, the top 40 outfielder range versus where he is now. Like, he feels like he's got some decent upside. So, yeah, I'm drafting him everywhere that I want, like, an upside outfielder. So, you know, like I said, free rounds for 12-team mixed league. The 15-team league, if you have, like, you know, solid core of outfielders, like, as your first three or four, and you want to take a bit of a flyer for your fourth or fifth outfielder, I don't have a problem with that. And in an AL only.
Yeah, I completely agree. I like Oliveras. I think there's a little bit of upside that's maybe not being considered here, because I mean, you haven't projected for more at bats than any projection system that I've seen out there, and I think I'm with you in regards to at least the at bats and what he could potentially do with him, you know, given the opportunity. So yeah, I'm with you on Edward Oliveras. I like him as a sleeper, a guy that you can grab late, very late in your drafts, and also with you that he could go, you know, several tiers higher next year when we're talking about outfielders. Moving on to number 76 is Brandon Marsh. Last year he had 11 home runs, 10 stolen bases, 49-52, and hit .245. You have projected for 13 home runs, 14 stolen bases, 53-48, and hitting .240. This is only his 25-year-old season. He got moved from Los Angeles to Philly. I guess the biggest issue is kind of he's going to be stuck at the bottom of the order because Philly's pretty much set at the top.
Yeah, because he also feels like the first guy who loses at bats if they need to get anyone at bats. Like, you know, I don't know. Edmundo Sousa, Josh Harrison. I'm not saying these guys are good, so don't get me wrong. I don't think they should play over Marsh, but, you know, if someone's getting, you know, arrested, it's, you know, or someone's getting platooned out at all, it would probably be him, especially versus lefties. I like Marsh, though. You know, like, these guys, this whole tier is really, like, these are upside guys that I like a lot that are probably not drafted in your 12-team mixed leagues or are drafted in, like, the last round, but are, like, good upside flyers for later in your, like, deeper leagues. I think Marsh has, like, you know, he's got good power and speed. It's like, you know, that's at that with power and speed, a lot, you can get a lot of fantasy value out of that without having to do a ton else. Like, you, if you're in the lineup for 135, 40 games and you can do 15, 15, 250, you'll be surprised at how much value that has, even if it doesn't sound like the most exciting stat line.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely. I mean, I'm actually, that's probably one of my bigger issues is that, you know, I'll go for all the power speed guys. But sometimes you need a guy that's going to actually play and be in the middle of lineups. And sometimes I'm missing that part of it. I do like Brandon Marsh, as I mentioned. He's only 25. So I think there's potential. He had .288 once he came over to Philadelphia last year. So maybe there was a clubhouse thing. I mean, the Angels always seemed like they kind of hated him. He never got real playing time and just got kind of moved around constantly with them. And so I think there's potential where Marsh can maybe settle down and have a like a real job here in Philadelphia. Moving on to number seven.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry. Agree. Yeah.
Yeah, moving on to number 77 is Garrett Mitchell. Last year, he had 28 games in the majors. He had 2 home runs, 8 stolen bases, and hit .311. Last year in AA, he had 44 games. He had 4 home runs, 7 stolen bases, and hit .277. And then in 20 games at AAA, he had 1 home run, 9 stolen bases, and hit .342. You have him projected for 12 home runs, 18 stolen bases, 49, 45, and .226. Garrett Mitchell, man.
This is a guy, actually, Jeff, former podcast host, I saw him in Florida and at spring training, and he drafted Garrett Mitchell in NL only, and I mean, I was saying to him that I thought it was a great pick, and Garrett Mitchell feels like a guy who could potentially be, like, one of my first, like, you know, big buys of the season for 12-team mixed leagues. Like, he feels like if he gets off to a hot start, like, he's got, again, power, speed, and he, you know, he's had good contact in the minor leagues. It's just, like, his brief time in the majors, but super brief, only 28 games. He had a 40-plus strikeout rate, but that a 40% strikeout rate, but that's only, like, due to the small sample size. I think he's going to be fine for contact. Like, I think he's going to actually, like, he could hit 250 with, like, I don't know, I want to say 10 homers and 20 plus steals. Like, he's really interesting for even a 12-team mixed league. But again, it's like a guy who's not going to get drafted, probably will be on waivers in 12-team mixed leagues, which is why I say I could actually, you know, potentially make him into an early buy in the season. Like, he could be good. I'm monocling Garrett Mitchell in, like, for shallow leagues. For deeper league, absolutely grab Garrett Mitchell. Like, he's really interesting for a deeper league, especially with Tyrone Taylor out. It's it could be really like, he could be a steal. Like, he's another guy. Like, this whole tier of guys, these guys could all be 40 picks earlier next year. Like, these are upside guys.
Yeah, I mean, he could potentially put up something like Tommy Edman did last year. Like, you know, low teens, home runs, 25, 30 stolen bases, and a 260 average. Like, I wouldn't put that past him. He's definitely got the speed. I don't know that he has a lot of power, but he has enough that he's not just like, he's not Miles Straw or Billy Hamilton, like, where he's just barely being able to, like, move the ball forward at all. He has a little bit more pop than that. So I do like Garrett Mitchell here as a late flyer, and just see what happens if you're this late in the draft, or just put him on your watch list, as you mentioned, for as we get early in the season. Number 78 is Jose Siri. Last year he had 7 home runs, 14 stolen bases, 53-24, and hit .213. You have him down for 14 home runs, 14 stolen bases, 59-51, and .226. I mean, he had 16 games at AAA. He had, I guess, if we go back to 2021, in 94 games at AAA, he had 16-24, .318. So, like, that's the big picture, like, upside for Jose Siri. And another reverse splits guy, at least last year, Gray.
Yeah. I mean, another guy who's just, like, so, like, his numbers just jump off the page. Like, Jose Siri could be probably, like, a top, like, if he can control his contact, because his contact is the biggest issue here. So, like, you mentioned his AAA line of 16-24, .318, but he did it with a 31% strikeout rate, and he's had a 33.4% strikeout rate in the majors. So if he's able to get to, like, a 27% strikeout rate and hit .240+, he could be a 17 to 20 homer, 17 to 25 steal hitter, which is, like, I mean, that's like a top 30 outfielder. Like, Jose Siri to me is, like, again, like, I didn't write a sleeper for Jose Siri because I do think the contact is a mess a bit, and he could hit 190 and get platooned. So I think the downside is actually pretty severe with Jose Siri, but potential upside is, like, enormous. Like, he could be excellent, but unfortunately he's older. So I tend to think he's probably got more downside than upside. But, yeah, I mean, he's right there and a guy who I'm really interested in super late in drafts.
Yeah, definitely has, like, the loud skills. He was the third fastest person in sprint speed last year. He's put up a 24-46 season at A-ball. He had the 16-24 season at AAA. So, it's another really toolsy guy. You're right. Like, can he get enough contact to make it work? Can he limit the strikeouts? Again, I don't mind taking the shot when we're this late, though. So we'll see how it works for Jose Siri. But he could completely bottom out. I mean, he could be back in the minors, you know, sooner than later, even with the Rays, whose lineup is not overly spectacular right now. Moving on to number 79 is Trent Grisham. Last year, he went 17-7, 58-53, and 184. You have him projected for 18 home runs, 10 stolen bases, 62-57, and 209. I mean, why were we excited? Why were people excited about Trent Grisham last year, Gray? Like, what was the reason?
I think it was 2020 bled into thinking he was good for 2021, and then I don't know,
Gray. Like, what happened?
I'm making up something. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I think there might be something here. I don't know, bro. I think there might be still something because, I mean, he does. You know, he makes terrible contact, which is why you see like a strikeout rate that isn't insane, and he's still hitting 184. He's just not. I mean, it's probably not. He's probably not very good, unfortunately. But I do think there is something to, like, there's the power speed aspect that if he did have, like, a bit of a suppressed BABIP, even though, I mean, the BABIP's suppressed because the contact's so bad. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues with Trent Grisham. But he does have power and he does have speed. So you have to respect that for, like, a deeper league play, that if he can hit, like, 220, he could also hit 20 homers and steal 15 bags. And there's value to that in a deeper league.
Yeah, I mean, I have him in NL only. So, I mean, there is value there in deep leagues. I think that's about the only place that I'm really looking in his direction. As you mentioned, the contact has just been pretty bad here. So I don't know about Trent Grisham and what he's going to provide in regards to any kind of shallower format. Moving on, we have number 80, Manny Margot. 89 games last year, he had 4 home runs, 7 stolen bases, and hit 274. You have him projected for 10 home runs, 12 stolen bases, 51, 55, and 267. Manny Margot is like the definition of a little bit of everything as we're talking about these outfielders.
Yeah. I think Manny Margot is probably like faster. Like he's actually a good guy to look at for when people are like, so and so is fast. So he'll steal bases. Well, not necessarily. It doesn't necessarily work that way. Sprint speed doesn't necessarily equate to stolen bases. So, yeah, I mean, Margot could steal. I mean, it's possible. He does have speed, but yeah, he hasn't really used it at all. And he has a little bit of power. Like, if he were, like, it wouldn't shock me to see him hit like 10 homers and steal 20 plus bags and hit 275. Like that wouldn't shock me. It also wouldn't shock me to see him hit like 7 homers, steal 7 bags and hit 250. So, you know, that's why, I mean, he's getting drafted so late. His upside is a little bit interesting and his downside is pretty bad.
Yeah. And I don't know, 'cause he had a bunch of injuries and things last year and I'm just in and out, but the sprint speed dropped significantly last year. Maybe he can get it back. Maybe it was a one-year thing. But, I mean, every year he gets older, you start to wonder whether that's – is it age? Is it the injuries? So that does concern me just in regards to the speed, because that was always kind of his carrying trait, was that, at least he's fast. He'll beat some things out and he'll maintain his average. That way, if everything goes wrong, and at his current speed, it's not like slow. He's just not like he used to be top 10 in the major league in like sprint speed. He's now top 200. So just kind of a change in skills potentially. Number 82 is Austin Hayes. Last year, he had 16 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 66, 60, and 250. You have projected for 15 home runs, 3 stolen bases, 62, 66, 254. Power still showed up on the road. He is just dying at home. Several hits that could have been out of you know, the old dimensions at Camden here. You talked about Austin Hayes way back when we started the show, and I'm kind of with you. Like, he's a guy that I don't mind adding to rosters, but I also don't know that there's a whole lot of projection into him to become better than he was last year.
Yeah, I mean, Camden really killed him. Like, you put Austin Hayes in old Camden Yards in 2019, and he's a 40 homer hitter. he's 40 homer, 7 steals, 280. Like, he's a first rounder in 2019 in the old Camden.
Thank goodness he didn't actually play then, because we would still be drafting him like
Austin
it.
Hayes is Barry Bonds in 2019. If Austin Hayes can find a DeLorean, I'm telling you, man, this guy, Austin Hayes is so good if you're drafting for 3 years ago. I'll tell you right now, this podcast, if you're listening to this from the past, and you can go back now. Okay, anyway, so Austin Hayes he's just kind of boring now, unfortunately. Like, I don't know. If I were him, like, there's all of these, like, attorneys that will do, like, class action suits, and they don't get paid unless you get paid. So I would sue the Orioles and be like, you moved the fences back, and that ruined my contract, okay? Like, I can't get paid because the Camden Yard fences are now in Camden, New Jersey, all right? Burn me up, man. So anyway, I like Austin Hayes, but yeah, the upside.
Yeah, I will say this is the last year that he's under contract, so there's potential he could get moved if there's a team out there that needs a, you know, a righty back.
Okay, so Austin Hayes gets traded to the Yankees in July. He's going to hit 40 homers from July to October, all right? So I love Austin Hayes.
He's gonna go all... crap. He's going to go all Luke Voit or Harrison Bader on us and just go off real quick.
Kevin Moss, yeah.
All right, moving on. Number 83 here is Kerry Carpenter. Last year, he only had a minor amount of time up in the majors. He had 6 home runs, hit .252. Double A, he had 63 games. He had 22 home runs and hit .304. And Triple A in 35 games, he had 8 home runs, 2 stolen bases, and hit .331. Yeah, I'm projected for 22 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 51, 58, and 261. This is a guy who had 36 home runs between 3 levels. Gray, K-rate's definitely varied, but he could potentially find himself sitting at the top of a not-so-good Detroit Tigers lineup.
Yeah. I think with there's a chance season or something, or in April, like a guy who I'm really excited about in April who could be breaking out. Like, there's a chance for Kerry Carpenter if he's playing every day and he has a hot, like, early April. I could see him getting added to all teams. Like, he has potential, but yeah, I mean, he's got a hit, essentially. Like, he's not at the point where, like, I could see him being an early guy for, like, Fab, but platooning out against lefties and in a terrible lineup, like, he needs the hit in order to really earn his spot in most fantasy leagues outside of, like, obviously, like, AL only, but AL only, everyone's rostered in AL only. So, yeah, I don't mind Kerry Carpenter, though, for a potential upside play in a deeper
league. Yeah, I actually like some Kerry Carpenter. Again, I think just because of the opportunity. I mean, there's really nobody in front of him that Detroit should say it needs to be playing. And again, if he can kind of stick at the top of the order, he definitely showed some pop last year, even in his minor time up, which was 31 games. I mean, 6 home runs in 31 games isn't terrible. I'm interested. I'm willing to take the shot later in drafts and just see what happens. Even in like a 15-team mixed where he's probably still not drafted in those, I would probably take a shot on him as my last player. Number 84 is Leody Taveras. Last year he had 5 home runs, 11 stolen bases, 39, 34, and hit .261. Yeah, I'm projected for 8 home runs, 16 stolen bases, 54, 59, and .264. Is he really only 24, Gray? I feel like he's been around for like 3 decades. How is he only 24 years old? Like, that can't be right.
I know. This is like, this is the tier of like ghosts of past sleepers. Like Leone Tavares. I remember that sleeper. Hey, youngster, when I was your age, I did a Leone Tavares sleeper post. I could see him still potentially breaking out. Again, like, this is a tier of guys who, like, I could see all these guys still, because you, like you mentioned, Tavares is still young. I could see all these guys being, like, ranked 40 or so spots in the outfielder rankings higher last year. So I like Tavares a lot. You know, it's like, again, once again, speed and power. Like, not a ton of either. Not a ton of power, at least. He's got, you know, he's got some decent speed, maybe 20 steals. But if he can hit 10 homers, steal 20 bags, and his contact isn't so bad, if he can get into, like, a 250-plus average, that's valuable. Like, again, I could see him being, like, an early either fab or early waiver wire pickup. But for shower leagues, he's not getting drafted. For deeper leagues, he's probably a fifth outfielder, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with the Tavares one. And if something happens to, like, Semien, Seager, or Lowe, Tavares is moving up in the order, too. Like, right now, he's probably hitting ninth, but that's with everyone healthy. If Tavares hits and Seager gets hurt, Tavares is hitting second, which, you know, hopefully happens. I mean, not hopefully, excuse me. No, hopefully, because I don't draft Corey Seager. But, you know, if you do draft Corey Seager, apologies.
I will say, I think if that does happen, like, if he can get moved up the order, he gets his contact, you know, under control, and, like, he's taken walks in the past, he could be one of those guys that just steals a ton of bases, because he is, I mean, he's among the fastest players out there. He still has that speed, you know, despite me making fun of him feeling like he's been around for forever.
Totally. Like, if you told me, like, he's going to go 15-35 this year, I'd be like, yeah, okay. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, he has that potential. It's why I wrote a sleeper post for him in the past. Like, I like Tavares. It's just, like, he needs some breaks, as in, like, Corey Seager's leg. No, I'm joking. We don't wish injuries on players. But I'm saying, if something happens to someone in that lineup and he moves up and he goes 10, if he hits 10 homers and steals 30 bags, it would not shock me. Like, but he needs some help.
I'm with you. Moving on, next guy up is number 85, is Marcell Ozuna. Last year, he had 23 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 56-56, and hit .226. He had projected for 20 home runs, 3 stolen bases, 51-66, .218. Exit velocity, hard hit are down over the last two seasons. And don't laugh too hard, Gray. I think he said he was going to try and play in the field this year for some reason.
Yeah, he's going to need a... he needs, like, a green screen or something to pretend to be in the outfield.
Has there ever been a worse platoon ever, if it happens, than Ozuna or Eddie Rosario for defensive purposes?
Yeah, I know, right? What happened to the Braves, like, DH/ left field? I mean, they have everything else. They need to find a rookie out of nowhere who they can give a 12-year, $30 million
deal. Clearly paid those guys too much.
Okay. Right, okay. So Ozuna, you know, Ozuna's like, and this is a new tier, by the way. So we're out of, like, the high upside, risky picks. And this starts a new tier where you got guys who are, like, this is for deep leagues where you kind of need at-bats and you know what you're getting. And what you're getting isn't necessarily that good. So that's where we are. And that sort of, like, Ozuna is he's typical. He is the example for that. Like, he is, like, you know what you're getting, and it's not so good. That's it. Like, if you need that in a deep league, and in deep leagues, sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need a guy who you're like, I took a risky pick with my fourth outfielder, and I don't know what I'm going to get, and I need a fifth outfielder who's actually going to play. Zuna can stay on the field. He probably will, like, DH at least, I don't know, 130 games, you know? Like, I would give him – I think I have him down for, like, I think 130 games-ish. So 130 games, it's like 24 homers – no speed, 230 maybe. Like, it's not exciting, but in deep leagues sometimes you need that.
No, you're right. It's true. I just, you know, obviously trending in the wrong direction. And if he's going to play in the field, I don't know that the at-bat, I feel as good about the playing time as I did just him DHing. But moving on to number 86 is Mark Canha. Last year, he had 13 home runs, 3 stolen bases, 71, 61, and 266. He had him projected for 14 home runs, 3 stolen bases, 64, 56, and 253. At 34 years old, I think he's about average for the Mets starting lineup right now.
Yeah, he's the young guy in the Mets lineup, if you include the rotation, I guess. I like him for, again, this is for deep league, so don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's a great play in a 12-team mixed league. But in a deep league, I tend to, like, find, like, these guys sort of, like, comforting in a way, because I go a little bit more upside-y with other picks. And, you know, I need a Canha, like, later, because, like, I don't expect much, but I could get like 13 to 15 homers, 5 steals, and a 255 average. And, you know, that's not bad for an everyday guy in like an NL only league, or even like a 15 team mixed league as like your fifth outfielder. It's not great. Like, don't get me wrong, but you could probably do worse.
Yeah, I don't know much, but I know I don't love Mark Canha for most leagues. But yeah, you're right. I mean, as you start to get deeper and deeper, which is where we're at, we're not in 12-team league format anymore. You sometimes just need these guys.
Bidon is the missing Neville brother. I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I called that. That's like a Rudy joke. Rudy would be just losing it right now.
He'd be rolling on the floor. We covered the next 7 or 8 guys, so I'll just run them off. 87 is Eric Haas. Gavin Lux at 88. 89, Luis Ringifo. 90, Nick Gordon. 91, Chris Taylor. 92, Harold Ramirez. 93, Enrique Hernandez. 94, Jurickson Profar. And 95 is Michael A. Taylor. Last year, he had 9 home runs, 4 stolen bases, 49, 43, and 254. You have him projected for 10 home runs, 8 stolen bases, 54, 51, 248. I mean, he can steal some bases on the IL, Gray.
Yeah, just one note about Profar. He's still a free agent. I probably should take him out of the rankings soon. But I am kind of shocked he hasn't signed somewhere. Like, he wasn't bad last year. And there's some teams that could use him. By the time people listen to this, maybe he has signed somewhere. But as of the taping of this, he hasn't, which is kind of surprising, to be honest. Like, I thought, like, he feels like, I mean, how much worse is, like, he than to, like, I don't know, Enrique Hernandez? Like, Jurickson Profar, or Enrique Hernandez, Harold Ramirez, like, they all kind of feel similar. Anyway, with that aside, Michael A. Taylor, I mean, this is now, like, these are still, like, guys who have everyday at-bats where you're like, why is he playing so much? That's basically this tier. This tier is a lot of guys where you're like, I don't know why he's playing, but he probably shouldn't be. I think you mentioned Gavin Lux too. He's been removed from the rankings, by the way. So anyway, Michael A. Taylor. There's like nothing really. Like he's kind of surprising in one way. That like Mike, surprising in the fact that he keeps finding playing time. No, surprising in the fact that like he is not really awful as much as people think. Like last year, like he had a 24% strikeout rate and he hit 254. That's better than, like, the league average was, like, 245. Like, he wasn't really that bad, Michael A. Taylor, last year. Like, he actually cut his strikeouts, and he was okay. But, yeah, he's not great. And, you know, honestly, with the Twins lineup, you know, this is real deep. This is real deep in the rankings, and you have to have, like, you probably, even in a 15-team mixed league, like, you have to maybe, like, be a bit of a hater on, like, you know, this is, like, Nick Gordon was in, I think, injured himself. So, this is, like, Michael A. Taylor is going to get, like, 375 to 425 at-bats in a variety of places. Like, maybe an outfield slot, maybe a DH, maybe pinch hitting, like, maybe pinch running. Like, he's not necessarily going to be like a everyday player, but at the end of the day, he probably is going to be worth, you know, roughly like this point in the draft. Like, surprisingly, like on the player radar last year, he was the 350th overall player. That's about where I have him ranked for this year too. Like, it doesn't make total sense that Michael A. Taylor is a top 400 player. But he kind of is. Like, it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, he's not great, though. Don't get me wrong. Anyway.
I appreciate you really selling the 95th player harder than you did the 52nd player. I do appreciate that from you, Gray. I am surprised Profar didn't sign. I mean, he feels like somebody that, like, would fit it right in with the White Sox and the Red Sox, like we talked about earlier. Just, you know, kind of a contact, take your walk, don't strike out guy. But I am surprised he's still a free agent. Number 96 is Randall Grichuk. Last year he had 19 home runs, 4 stolen bases, 60, 73, and hit 259. You have projected for 19 home runs, 3 stolen bases, 58, 71, 262. He had hernia surgery, so he's going to miss the start of the season. But I don't think he's a terrible person to IL if you're just, like, looking around to IL somebody and, like, he's sitting there on free agency.
No, totally. I drafted Grichuk. I'll cop to it. I drafted Grichuk in one league where it was, I believe it was Draft Champions League where I drafted him. Because it was, like, super late. It was, like, maybe 350, 400 overall. I don't know exactly where it was. Maybe it was 320. Wherever it was late, and I wanted to go to sleep. No, it was late in the draft, and he was like, you know, at the end of the day, like in a league where you can, like, if you can platoon him in when he's in Coors and platoon him out when he's not, which is the one good thing with NFBC, it's like, on Friday, you can change your hitters out. So if he gets like a weekend, you know, a weekend jaunt to Coors, put him in the lineup. He's coming back. He'll be back by mid-April. So I don't actually mind Grichuk in a super deep league if you have the resources with like a deep bench or something.
Yeah, I agree. And I will say he's on his last year of his contract as well. So another guy that could potentially be leaving Colorado. But I mean, we kind of already seen him outside of Colorado. We know it's pretty much just the average is going to drop out a little bit. He'll be, you know, probably closer to a 230, 240 hitter rather than a 260 like he was last season. And that's pretty much the only difference. Moving on to number 97 is Avisel Garcia. Last year, he had 8 home runs, 4 stolen bases, 31, 35, and hit 224. You have him projected for 16 home runs, 4 stolen bases, 51, 55, and 229. I mean, it's another one, like, it's another playing time one, and, I mean, he just gets playing time somehow every year, year after year.
Yeah, no, definitely. He gets, and if, is Prince Fielder's wife, I believe, she gives him a lot of play. Avisail Garcia is like, he usually, like, he kind of is actually very similar to Jorge Solar in some ways, even, and they're like right next to each other in the order, or close to each other in the order. Avisail Garcia, if he can stay on the field, he's healthy. Like, I would throw out, his last year was awful, but he was also injured for a lot of it. So I would say it doesn't really apply to, like, what he's going to do going forward. I think he could, like, if he stays on the field, he could potentially hit 22 to 25 homers and 240. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not amazing, but in a deep league, if he's healthy in, like, a 15-team mixed league or deeper, I don't know. You can do worse. I mean, he's not, like, he doesn't have any upside. I think Jorge Solar has much more upside, which is why he was ranked way before. But Avisail Garcia is, like, you know, a safe bet if he's on the field for okay stats, decent.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about, like, a 30 home run, 40 home run bounce back like we would be with Solaire. Like, Avisail Garcia, even with bouncy ball, wasn't a 30 home run guy. But you're right; he can get back into the low 20s, mid 20s, and an average that doesn't absolutely kill you. Potentially, Marlins Park isn't exactly ideal for power, so I would expect kind of the under on home runs. But last year's also a wash, as you mentioned. Just there's so many things kind of kept popping up; it's hard to really take those numbers for a whole lot. Number 98 is Adam Duvall. Last year he had 12 home runs, 39, 36, and hit 213. You have projected for 18 home runs, 1 stolen base, 49, 59, and 217. Another guy that is just, though he is one of those last power potential guys, and I would say more than Avisail Garcia, probably, just if we're talking raw power. He's had that, you know, multiple 30 home run seasons. So just wondering if he can get back and find that swing somehow, really.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if he's having a Zambino type year, then yeah. I mean, potentially. I mean, I could see him doing, like, you know, having like a 20 homers, like, by the break, and just falling off, being awful in the second half or something. Like, he could have a couple months where he's really good. I don't really see much from him. Other than, like, a potential, like, you know, just a bounce back Zambino type year. I mean, I don't know. Like, his, you know, the one good thing I will say with him is, you know, he's a righty and he's going to be in Fenway for his home game. So if he can hit balls off the wall for, like, you know, maybe he has a better average than he's had for, like, the last couple years. Like, maybe he sneaks into, like, a 230 average and hits, like, I don't know, maybe 25 homers. I could see it happening. I wouldn't put money on it, but, you know, it wouldn't, like, completely shock me, I guess, if he has a bounce back year. But I don't think it's going to be a full season. Like, he's too old at this point. So unless, like, even if he has, like, a good couple months, it's just going to be a good couple months, I would think. But, I mean, you know, it's like, these are rolls of the dice for power super late.
Yeah, it sounds like I like Duvall a little bit more than you do. And it is part, you know, maybe almost entirely because he landed in Boston and he can just hit balls either into or over the wall. He has that power still. So I think there's some sneaky home run upside here, and even potentially some average upside, just because, I guess I shouldn't say average upside for him, just because of the wall being there and him being able to take advantage of that. But that's pretty much it. Number 99 is Max Kepler, 9 home runs last year, 3 stolen bases, 54, 43, 227. You're projected for 19 home runs, 5 stolen bases, 56, 59, 235. I mean, kind of the same story with Kepler, right? We're just kind of hoping things kind of click back in place and he kind of finds his power stroke again and stays healthy.
Yeah, I mean, also, I think there's a small narrative that's bouncing around that the shift being gone could help him on average. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm probably lower on Kepler than most. Like, he got drafted in my 12-team mixed league labor draft. He went in the free rounds, so, you know, no one paid for him. But he did get drafted, where a lot of the guys, like, for the last, you know, 15 to 20 outfielders, a lot of them weren't even drafted. So Kepler is, you know, more interesting to at least one other person. I wouldn't have drafted him in a 12-team mixed league, but, you know, someone did. I don't really see much there. I mean, maybe the middle of the order helps with the counting stats. I think you got to platoon him out. Like, I don't think you keep him in the lineup necessarily versus lefties, which, you know, I mean, that's fine, I guess, but he's not really good. I mean, he's not good versus lefties. He might play versus them, but you on your fantasy team should not let him play. I don't know. I mean, you know, projections are saying a huge bounce back for just about all his stats. I don't know, maybe. I'm not really a big Kepler guy. Like, I'm not... he's not a guy I draft, so I mean, you know, take it with a grain of salt. I'm not in on Kepler, but some people are.
Yeah, I'm more in your camp. I mean, I think the upside is like 20 home runs and a handful of stolen bases with a pretty not great average still. Like 250 is like the upside for the average, so I'm not a big Kepler guy either. He does go a little bit ahead of this because he does sit, or at least he's projected right now to sit in the middle of the order. But, like, the guys behind him could easily start moving up above him if he doesn't get his act together. Like, Miranda could go above him. Gallo could go above him. He just gets his power swing back. Kirilloff could go above him if he stays healthy. Like, any of these guys could start moving above Kepler, which all of a sudden means he's a 7-9 hitter, and the counting stats we thought we were getting aren't even there from him. So I'm kind of out on him as well. Moving on to number 100 is Michael Brantley. Last year he had 5 home runs, 1 stolen base, 28-26, and hit .288. You have him projected for 7 home runs, 1 stolen base, 63-51, and .280, Gray. I mean, Brantley is he's the type of hitter that they want, and so they brought him back for whatever games that he can give them.
Yeah, no, he's like he is the type of guy that, like, he is going to be more valuable than you think, but also not really startable in most leagues, yeah, outside of like super deep leagues. Like, you're gonna get solid. You're gonna get like a 275, 280 average with like 8 homers, 2 steals, and like 70 runs, which sounds like awful, but in reality, like, at the end of the day, he's probably going to end up higher on the player rater than a lot of guys we've talked about in the last 20 minutes. But trying to roster Brantley, I mean, good night.
That's if he stays on the field. that's the other concern at 36 years old.
Right. Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. No, this is assuming health, which, you know, I wouldn't assume either. But I mean, even with health, I wouldn't, like, he's not the kind of guy I roster. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, roster him on any of my teams. But sitting between Altuve and Bregman and Yordan Alvarez, you can find worse places to sit in a line. Up, you know, like, he could get 70 runs in 120 games. Like, he could be valuable, just not at all interesting for fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, he could probably score like 40 runs just with just walks if he just stays healthy.
Right.
I don't think he stays healthy, so it's not a guy I tend to have. But you're right, on a per game basis, he's probably fine, and if he stays healthy, he's probably producing. Kind of him and like the AJ Pollock, like, per game type of thing. And it's just, wait,
This is actually, so this is like blow your mind. How, okay, so I'll tell you this. So he's been playing since 2009, his career, since 2009, and he has a 298 career batting average, almost 300 batting average. Guess how many hits he has?
So he's been playing?
He has so little playing time from 2009.
So like a good hitter, like he's been, he'd get like
13 years, a 300 average, 13 years, and he only has 1,600 hits. I mean,
that's like eight or nine seasons.
Wade Boggs did that in 3 years, bro. Like, what? How do you only have 1,600 hits? I was looking at his career average, and I was like, wait a minute. Is Michael Brantley like a sneaky Hall of Famer? And then I saw his career stats. I'm like, wow, man, he's barely been on the field. Dude is never on the field. 13 years, and he only has 1,400 games. Anyway, there's Michael Brantley.
Yeah, and that takes us to number 100, Gray. You know, he's... Let's just grab a few as we're going. I mean, we're at 100. We've already said we're kind of out of the 10-12 team mixed league. Maybe there's some upside guys that we're going to talk about that if you want to take the shot on here, you know, we're going to get to them. But let's just pick a few out from the rest. I mean, you've got like 40 more guys ranked. We're definitely not going to go through 45 more outfielders at this point. Let's just pick a few.
Yeah, no, so there's actually, for deeper leagues, there's a ton of guys who I'm still, like, completely interested in. But just for time's sake, I'm just gonna rattle off a few. So there's, like, Kyle Stowers, who I've already drafted before. Oreos guy, he's got, you know, he doesn't have a lot of speed, struggled a bit with strikeouts. But his power floor looks relatively high, like, even in, like, maybe 300 at bats, he could potentially hit 17 homers. So I like him a lot in like a deep league. Then there's like another guy who's getting a lot of looks actually in the outfield for the White Sox, Oscar Colas, who should be, I mean, he actually, I could see him breaking camp and like in the last week of the season, me re-ranking Colas to like, in the area of like the you know, the upside guys who we went over earlier, like the Jose series of the world. Like I could see Oscar Colas moving up like 30 spots in my rankings because like he's getting paid already because he's an international free agent. So it doesn't really make sense for them to send him down. And he's older. So I could see Colas potentially being a starting outfielder for the White Sox. And like, you know, cause like Laurie Garcia is like, like there's a spot for Colas. He's not like going to be, I mean, I think he's kind of like low upside. Like, I don't think he's necessarily going to be like shock the world and be like a top 20 outfielder, but he could potentially be like, you know, maybe 15 to 20 homers, 3 to 7 steals, 240-ish average, say. Okay, so then there's also like going super, super late. A lot of people are looking at like for steals. So there's Bubba Thompson. So he's crazy late. And then there's one other guy, Sal Frelick, who I don't know. Like I've said before, the Brewers have like 1.8 million outfielders. They have so many outfielders. Even with Tyrone Taylor injured, they have a ton of outfielders. But Sal Frelick could potentially get in to playing time for the Brewers and as like a super late NL only play, or even in like a draft champions. I could see a Frelick, he could be really good, like in like maybe a half a season. Like if he comes up in June, July, 3 months of him, it could be really interesting. You know, the few guys, actually guys who I haven't even ranked, who I'm looking at like crazy late in super deep leagues, Will Brennan. I don't think I ranked him. And he looks really kind of interesting because, as we know, Miles Straw no pun intended, sucks. Straw sucks. He's not good. I think the Guardians potentially could move on to Will Brennan. And, you know, in a deep AL-only league, you're going to get a Brennan for, like, free or a dollar at worst. And he could potentially be interesting. So, yeah, those are – so there's some guys, like, super late.
Nice, yeah. A few names for me real quick. Estuary Reese, just loud skills, lots of power, lots of speed. Well, not a lot of power, but he has some power. Lots of speed, though, if he gets a chance. Jake Fraley, in 68 games last year, he went 12-4, 260 for the Reds. It looks like he could potentially be at the top of the order for the Reds, so there's some potential runs there, and he's going pretty late as well. You already mentioned Colas. Drew Waters, former Braves prospect, traded to Kansas City. When he went to Kansas City, he went from being a 246 hitter with the Braves in 50 games to being a 300 hitter in 31 games for the Royals in AAA. So maybe the Royals found something in Drew Waters. I'm willing to take that opportunity if we get down this late. Tommy Pham, Eddie Rosario, a couple names you know that just kind of Tommy Pham is what he is. Eddie Rosario dealt with some kind of eye issue last year in his cataract or something in his eye. He got it fixed, and he's saying that it's obviously a whole lot easier when you can see. Brent Snitiger says it's like having a different guy. So I'm interested there. Joey Gallo, we already mentioned the lack of power as we get late. Like Joey Gallo, we know can hit 35, 45 home runs. If he could just hit the ball occasionally, that would be awesome. You mentioned, go ahead.
Oh, there was one thing. Alec Thompson, the Diamondbacks guy, he's having a great spring. By the time people listen to this, he may have gone 0-for-12 and no longer be having a great spring. Yeah. But yeah, he could have been. He might have been sent down. He may no longer be in the camp. I don't know. But Alec Thompson. Also, I saw someone on another site call him a Lilliputian, and he's 5'11". So I take that. I take that as an insult. How dare you say Alec Thompson is tiny as 5'11 guy? Are you kidding me, bro? You want to see little? Look at me, bro.
All right, two last names for me, Gray, and then we'll get out of here. Jesus Sanchez, I mean, he has a ton of power. He's been kind of injured for the last season and a half. Possibility that if he just could stay healthy, there is real power there. And, the guy who I just can't ever give up on, who's also only like 22 years old or something, Joe Adell. Joe Adell, every spring he hits well. Every spring I get excited that he's going to start playing. And every spring I'm ultimately disappointed when he doesn't play well. But, once it clicks for him, there's still the power speed. If you're just looking for a random shot in the dark late in a late draft, there's always Joe Adell. All right, Gray, we have gone through a lot of outfielders, over 100. So there you go. If you have any questions after that, feel free to find us on Twitter. I am at RazBeaton. Gray runs the @RazBall account. Watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/RazBallFantasy. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate, review, that all helps us. Thank you very much. And until we talk next week, Gray, we're on to our pitchers, finally. We're out of the positions. Yay! Woo! See you, man.
Late.